Today, we'd like to see the title over The Love of Christ Compels Us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 to 21. Join online with the people through MP3 or a YouTube channel on there. We'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2 in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 3 in verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? In the last time, in verses 6 to 7, so we are always confident in knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Because of indwelling the Spirit in us, we are always confident with such a strong courage to endure fear, pain, tear, sorrow, disease, illness, or death on the earth. Although we are living in this earthly house and are physically afar from the Lord, in the glories of his kingdom with our glorious body, because we live by faith to be clothed with a building from God, not by sight to be physically afar from the Lord on the earth. Verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul and Timothy are glad, confident to be with the Lord face to face forever by departing from the physical body into glorious body. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Whether Paul and Timothy are present in the physical body or absent from the body into heaven, they have the goal to be accepted in the beloved for his pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1, 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the blood. That is the King James Version. We may be accepted over him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, at God's standard. Either believers or non-believers will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For the believers, reward according to their doings on the earth, whether spiritual work or flesh works. And for non-believers, punishment according to their works, the great white throne judgment of God finally. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, Then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Then Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Romans 14:10-12. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment of seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall be given account of himself to God. 1 Corinthians 3:14-15. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's works is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as though fire. Then last the great white throne judgment, 20:11-12, Revelation. Then I saw great white throne judgment, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So lawful works are works with a good motive or spiritual works. For example, for God's his glory, his kingdom, or his righteousness. Unlawful works are the works with bad motive or flesh works, for my profit, my power, or my glory. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. 2 Timothy 2:5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Matthew 7, rules is a basic motive. Matthew 22:23. Many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So wrong motive, not according to Bible, God's word. 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. The Lord's punishment to wicked or dishonest man is the terror to the man. We persuaded man to come to Christ, not for personal gains. God knows well our motive, and we are sure that you know our motive too. That is, we are good and faithful servants, not wicked and lazy servants. For example, 5 talents, 2 talents versus 1 talent, Matthew 25:15-21. And to one who gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. 12. For we do not commend ourselves against to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. We don't boast for ourselves, but you may answer what we are good and faithful servants for eternity in heart to those ministries who boast and pebble his word for their gains, such as money, power, popularity. 2 Corinthians 2:74. We are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. If accusers say that Paul and Timothy are crazy or insane, it is for God, not for the world. If some say that Paul and Timothy are in sober or right mind, it is for you, because everyone needs to be born again. Book of Acts 7:16-22, 25-31. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city Athens was given over to idols. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Nor is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So simply repent your sin of unbelief and any other sin, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior. That's it. Then, verse 14, question 2. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, and if one died for all, then all died. Compelled to, in other words, constraints. Paul and Timothy's motive ministry is to love of God. The deep heart within their ministry is the love of God. We judge if one died for, then all died. We, the believers, are convinced that Jesus died for all, and thus all in the past died on cross. All don't live for themselves, but for him. Galatians chapter 2:20 and verse 15 as well. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for him and rose again. Those the believers should not live for themselves, but for him who is dead for all and rose again. Everyone should be born again, living for him. 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Upon being born again, we are not interested in fleshly things or temporal things. Having known Christ according to flesh, now we know him thus no longer. Once we have known Christ after flesh, but now we know him after spirit, no longer after flesh. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone who has received Christ Jesus the Lord lives in him, not in himself, he is a new creation or a new creature. Colossians chapter 2, 6, 7. You therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in him with thanksgiving. How? All the things have passed away. All things have become new. Everything of the past was erased, wiped out, or obliterated. Everything became new. Verse 18, now all things are of God. It's all you, a life in the Spirit, a life following after things of the Spirit, a life in the fellowship with God, everything new, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. We were in rebellion against God through Adam's sin. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sin, including rebellion and all other unrighteousness. His Son died in our place, that we might now live unto God through him. So God has reconciled us from wrath relationship to peace relationship to himself through Jesus Christ, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul and Timothy's ministry is to let people know that God had provided the way by which a simple man could be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 19, question 3. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God is reconciling everybody in the world to himself in Christ, who took everybody's trespasses by the blood of Christ. For example, upon David's repentance of his sin of adultery and murder, he was immediately forgiven by merciful God. That David was blessed, 2 Samuel 12:13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. Totally, you shall not die. Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. All the Testament covered. So whatever you commit sin, you should bring blameless sacrifice, such as a sheep, goat, cow, and so on. Ephesians 2:13-14. But now in Christ Jesus, you were, who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation because of Jesus Christ, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God called Paul, Timothy, to preach the gospel, or the word to reconcile with God in Christ, from wrath relationship to peace relationship, continual fellowship with God in Christ. Matthew 5:48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can be perfect? Continually. John 7:23. In them, I in them, and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. So, in the God the Father, Son of God, and each Christian, all in one union, one fellowship. 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made exchange between our all sin and his righteousness in Christ, who has no sin. Because God laid on Christ the iniquities of us all, and upon faith in Christ, God counts us as righteousness as Christ. So we can cast all our cares upon the Lord, because He cares for us. What a wonderful Savior, Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, 7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We covered all three questions. Let us sing all together, Maranatha song.